Ever feel like you're just drowning in data? I mean, we are just bombarded with information constantly, but what if there was a way to cut through all that noise and find the hidden clues, like the real story that's behind all the numbers? And that's actually what we're diving into today.
Yeah, think of it like being handed a detective's case file. You know, you got piles of evidence, but there's no clear picture of what happened.
Okay.
So today we're going to be exploring a method that essentially helps computers become those, like, brilliant detectives, you know, uncovering patterns and connections that we might otherwise miss.
Okay, you have my attention. So we're talking about teaching computers to think like Sherlock Holmes here. What's the case that we're cracking today?
Well, our case file today is a fascinating paper
Okay.
from the INFORMS Journal on Data Science. Now, if you're not familiar, INFORMS stands for the Institute for Operations Research and the Management Sciences. And let me tell you, these guys are like the heavy hitters in the analytics world.
Sounds legit. But this paper's title, it's a bit of a mouthful. Conjecturing-based discovery of patterns in data. Okay, so conjecturing. So is this like an educated guessing game, but for computers?
You know, that is actually a great way to put it.
Yeah.
What makes this method so intriguing is that it's not just trying to, like, predict the future
Right.
the way that a lot of machine learning algorithms do. Instead, it's trying to understand the relationship between data points. And it does this by creating these things called bounds.
Bounds.
Yeah, so basically it gives you a range of possible relationships, like
Yeah.
saying we're confident that A influences B, but the exact strength of that influence falls somewhere within these limits.
Okay.
And that's often way more helpful than just a single rigid answer,
Yeah.
especially when we're talking about really complex scenarios.
Yeah, no, I'm picking up what you're putting down here. So it's about understanding the why behind the data, not just the what, but how well does this whole conjecturing thing work in practice? Like, give me a real world example, because I got to see it to believe it.
All right, so buckle up, because they actually use this method to try and rediscover the law of gravity.
Wait, what?
Yeah. They fed the computer a data set that was based on gravity, but they pretended that they didn't know the formula beforehand.
So they basically asked a computer to become Newton, apple falling on its head and
Yeah.
all. That's a bold move. Did it work?
You're not going to believe this, but it did.
Oh, way.
The conjecturing method actually managed to find a formula that was incredibly close to the actual law of gravity.
Get out of here.
And here's the real kicker. It wasn't just a lucky guess. Out of 42 suggestions that the system produced, the near-perfect formula was right there in the mix.
Okay, so this isn't just a party trick. It's actually uncovering some fundamental truth that's hidden within data. Now, that is what I call a deep dive. But did it nail the formula perfectly, or did it need a little bit of help from its human overlords?
So it found a formula that was remarkably close. And that's a key point here. While this method is obviously super powerful, it still does benefit from a little bit of human intuition. And think of it like having like a super-powered research assistant. It can go out there and analyze mountains of data and highlight the most promising leads, but it's still up to us to connect those dots and make that final judgment call.
So it's about the dynamic duo of human ingenuity and AI horsepower. I like it. Okay, well, we've tackled physics. What about something that hits a little bit closer to home? Can this help us navigate the wild world of, say, real estate?
Funny you should mention that because they tested that too.
Oh, they did.
They wanted to see if the conjecturing method could predict whether a house would be priced above or below $300,000
Interesting.
using publicly available data.
Now that's a mystery that I wouldn't mind solving. I'm guessing that knowing the price per square foot is pretty crucial in figuring that out, right?
You're on the right track.
Yeah.
But what's fascinating is that conjecturing went a step beyond just identifying price per square foot as important. It actually uncovered like this hidden engine that was driving those predictions. And they call this the active interaction between the price per square foot and the total square footage.
Okay, break that down for me. What's an active interaction?
Okay, so basically it's how those two factors work together. It's not just that, you know, a higher price per square foot leads to a higher overall price,
Right.
which is, you know, fairly obvious,
Yeah.
is that this effect is actually amplified or diminished depending on the total square footage of the property.
I see.
And conjecturing was able to identify this like subtle but crucial interaction.
So it's like finding out the secret formula for pricing a property, something that real estate agents probably don't want us to know. So conjecturing is uncovering these hidden relationships. But how does it actually stack up against other big names in the AI world? I mean, we hear a lot about these big fancy algorithms. Where does this one fit in?
So the paper actually compares conjecturing to a system called AI Feynman.
AI Feynman, named after the one and only, the famous Richard Feynman. I'm sensing a theme here with all of this physics envy.
Right. But here's the thing. While AI Feynman, it excels at finding these precise equations, especially in physics, it actually struggled with both the gravity example and the real estate example.
Wow, really? Our conjecture machine beat out the physics whiz. What happened there? Was it those constant factors again?
Exactly. It seems that constant factors, they kind of trip up AI Feynman.
Okay.
Whereas conjecturing handles them with ease, and that's because it's focused on the relationship between variables, not on nailing down a specific constant value.
So different tools for different jobs. It's like, you know, using a hammer when you need a screwdriver. It's just not going to cut it. But if conjecturing isn't focused on exact equations, how does it handle more like standardized tests? You know, when it's really put to the test.
Well, the researchers, they thought of that. And they actually tested it on what's called the Nguyen Benchmark Suite.
Okay.
Which is basically like the proving grounds for these types of algorithms.
And how'd our contender do? Did it rise to the challenge?
It faced some challenges, as we kind of expected. Remember, conjecturing is built for finding those ranges of possibilities.
Those bounds.
Exactly, those bounds. Not necessarily the exact equation.
Wow.
So on a test that's designed for like pinpoint accuracy, it struggled a bit.
Yeah, makes sense. But I'm hoping there's a plot twist here.
Oh, there is. The researchers actually found that by adding a touch of what they call expert knowledge,
okay,
basically giving it some extra relevant calculations,
yeah,
conjecturing aced every single equation on the benchmark.
Now, that's what I'm talking about. It's not about replacing human intelligence. It's about combining our strengths.
Right.
For a truly powerful partnership.
Precisely. This collaboration between human expertise and AI's just raw processing power, it holds just incredible potential.
Okay, I'm sold. But let's move on to a mystery that's been on everyone's minds lately. COVID-19. Did they throw conjecturing at that too?
They did.
Oh, wow.
They used synthetic patient data from the Veterans Health Administration just to make sure that they were dealing with, you know, realistic data,
yeah,
without using actual patient records.
Of course. Of course.
But here's where it gets really, really interesting. Instead of just predicting who would or wouldn't survive COVID-19.
Right.
They used conjecturing to uncover the potential risk factors.
Interesting.
For those who contracted COVID-19.
So instead of just saying you might get sick, they were looking for the here's why you might be more vulnerable factors. That's a game changer. Did they unearth any insights that surprised even the medical experts?
They found some fascinating patterns. Some actually aligned with what we already knew, but with these kind of intriguing little twists.
Okay, like what?
For instance, conjecturing found that being older, living in eastern Massachusetts, and having more medications covered by insurance was correlated with a higher risk of dying from COVID-19.
Okay, that's definitely got my attention. Older makes sense. But the location and medication coverage, now that's a head scratcher. What could those factors indicate?
That's where conjecturing acts like a clue generator. It's pointing to potential connections, but it kind of leaves the in-depth investigation up to us.
Yeah.
For example, this finding, it might hint at disparities in healthcare access between eastern and western Massachusetts.
Interesting.
Or urban versus rural differences. Or even just factors related to population density. It's really up to researchers to follow those threads and see where they lead.
I love that. It's like conjecturing is handing us a treasure map with a big X marking the spot. And then it's up to us to actually grab our shovels and dig deeper. What other treasures did it unearth in the COVID data?
Well, it uncovered this potential link between the number of active medications that someone was taking and their HbA1c levels.
Their HbA what level?
HbA1c. It's a measure of long-term blood sugar control.
Okay.
Basically, people on more medications than their HbA1c would kind of suggest were potentially at a higher risk.
Interesting. So it's like the algorithm is saying, hey, this might be a sign of something that we need to look into. Another piece of the puzzle, possibly pointing towards underlying health conditions or other factors.
Exactly. And remember, it's finding these relationships that other methods might miss completely. It even stumbled upon a potential link between age, carbon dioxide levels, and potassium levels, suggesting that older individuals with lower levels of both CO2 and potassium might be more vulnerable. Now, this is something that hasn't really been widely studied yet.
Now, that's what I'm talking about. That's conjecturing. Throwing out a brand new lead in the case. It's like saying, here's a clue hidden in plain sight that we totally might have missed. This could spark a whole new wave of research.
Precisely. It highlights the power of this method to not just confirm what we already suspect, but to open up these entirely new avenues of investigation.
This has been mind-blowing, but before we wrap up, I'm curious, how does conjecturing stack up against more, I don't know, classic data analysis methods? You mentioned CART earlier. How do they compare?
Ah, yes. Classification and regression trees.
CART.
CART, it's like that, you know, seasoned detective that relies on those tried and true methods. Mm. Creates simple rules based on single cutoff values. Mm. I think, you know, if age is above 65, then it's very straightforward, but it's limited in its ability to handle complexity.
So CART is looking for that smoking gun, while conjecturing is more like piecing together a really complex web of clues. Did CART uncover anything noteworthy in the COVID data?
It did. It found some useful information.
Okay.
For instance, it highlighted that individuals over 66 with low potassium levels were more susceptible, which aligns with, you know, the general medical understanding of COVID-19 risks.
Yeah.
However, it didn't unearth those intricate multi-factor relationships that conjecturing brought to light.
Makes sense. Different tools for different aspects of the investigation, but having both perspectives really strengthens that overall picture, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's like having a whole team of detectives, each contributing their unique skills to crack the case wide open.
Teamwork makes the dream work. This deep dive has been absolutely incredible. We've learned so much about this powerful new tool for uncovering hidden patterns in data. But even with all its power, are there limits to what conjecturing can do? The paper mentions some challenges with dealing with noisy data, for example. How might those limitations impact its use in the real world?
That's a great point. The researchers acknowledge that dealing with the, you know, messiness of real-world data, it is an ongoing challenge. Imagine a version of conjecturing that's even more adept at sifting through errors and inconsistencies. It could revolutionize fields where data is inherently messy, like healthcare or the social sciences.
Now, that's a thought-provoking idea. It makes you wonder what other mysteries we could solve with these conjecturing machines. Climate change, economic trends, the possibilities seem endless.
The potential is truly vast. And as we generate more and more data in literally every single aspect of our lives, tools like conjecturing become increasingly vital in helping us decipher the stories that are hidden within.
This deep dive has definitely opened my eyes to the power of looking beyond just the surface of data and seeking out those hidden patterns. It's not just about predicting the future, it's about understanding the why behind it all. And as we've learned today, that understanding can lead to some truly incredible breakthroughs. A huge thank you to our expert speaker for guiding us through this fascinating paper. And to our listeners, remember, data is more than just numbers. It's a universe just waiting to be explored. So put on your detective hats, embrace your curiosity, and keep asking why.
Until next time, happy exploring.